The following is message 8 of Gene Grueler's sharing on the children and students in Anaheim, California, on the afternoon of November 15, 1989. Title of the message is Lord's Day Children's Meeting.
We have covered a number of basic things concerning bringing the children to the Lord and what to do with them. Then we covered the importance of children's work, and we covered the children's home meetings. So this week we come to the Lord's Day children's meetings. Of course, your expectation through your labor is to raise up new churches, right?
Amen.
One good way is to have the neighborhood home meetings as a way of contacting families and taking care of the children in the homes during the week. And that can be any of the saints' homes with their children, the neighbors' children, their friends, and so on. And you have to remember, those of you who are having these home children's meetings, that the goal is to gain the families, right? Keep your goal in view all the time. While you're having a good time, you know, with all these things with the children, and you're enjoying it, and they're enjoying it, and they're happy, and you're happy, don't lose sight of the goal. The goal is that through the children to contact the parents so we could get whole families. But that doesn't mean that we just are kind of using children in a kind of political way to get another end. No, we care for the children. We care very much for the children. We like to gain them and preserve them and keep them. But through them, we like to gain their friends, and we like to gain their families. So you must keep this in mind. I would like to have some fellowship with you a little more, maybe next week, a week from today maybe, about what have you done to contact the families of the children that you're meeting with. Actually, I would like to get into this with you. Even I'd like to go out with you to contact some of the families and see how could we use what we've done with the children as a way of getting into the homes. We have to do some work on this and even some experimenting and find out what is the best way since this is a new field, right? But anyway, in principle, you have to keep your eye on the goal. The goal is to raise the children up properly, to bring them to the Lord, to bring them into the church life eventually, but through them to gain their friends and to gain their families. So give that some consideration, especially as you're continuing to have the home children's meetings. You need to pray and consider, okay, what is the way now? And you need to pray for some opening. Something may happen with a child, something very positive. Then you may have a way to go to the mother and talk to her about it. Or some child may have some difficulty. Then you may go to talk to the mother about it as a way to make some show your love and your concern and your care. Or it may be just time. The kids have been coming for several weeks. Now it's time to go visit the parents and tell her what you're doing with the children and see if there would be some opening there. So we do believe that through the home children's meetings, we could get a good entrance into many homes. But as you are building up new churches, small churches and so on, there will always be children involved. And eventually, in a larger church like Anaheim, there are scores of children. So we have to do a children's work, not only in the homes, that's part of the children's work, but also in the meeting hall on the Lord's Day. All the families with children, in order for the parents to be able to come to the meeting, we have to take care of the children, right? We have to do something with the children. Well, this is a very good opportunity to do a children's work. I purposely took the neighborhood home children's meetings first because in our view over the years, our children's work has just consisted of the Lord's Day children's work. But we have to have a broader view than that. Our children's work is in the neighborhoods, in the homes, and in the meeting hall as well. And it's hard to say which will be more fruitful in the long run. But anyway, we have all these children here on the Lord's Day. We have to take care of them so the parents can attend the meetings. And we may as well do something very positive with them. We may as well do a work. So the first point on your outline on the Lord's Day children's meetings is make a definite arrangement for this work. We have to realize this applies also to your home children's meetings, to the junior high, to the high school. All of this is a work. All of this is a work. These are not church meetings, the way the saints come together on the Lord's Day or in the church prayer meeting. No, these are not church meetings. This is a work. Someone has to work on these children. And so that to have any kind of work, for any kind of work to be successful, you have to have a definite arrangement. A definite arrangement. On the one hand, surely we need to pray, we need to be filled in spirit, we need to be living, we need this element. But if all we have is the kind of spiritual element without any arrangement, then our work will not be fruitful. This is very clear in church history. There are always these two tendencies, because the Bible has these two sides. On the one hand, the New Testament is about God's economy and the dispensing of the triune God, right? Consummated as the life-giving Spirit into human beings to make us living and build us up as the body of Christ. But on the other hand, the whole New Testament has a lot how to do this and how to do that, right? Now, Christianity takes all of these things, how to do this and how to do that, and misses God's economy. But there have been people, through the centuries, who have picked up something of the life element and neglected how to do anything. Right? Actually, the mystics are in this category. They were just for their experience of God. So very little work was done, with a few exceptions by them. Then the inner life people followed, picking up some of these things of the inward experience of Christ. This began actually at the time of the Reformation. There were people at the contemporaries of Luther who stressed this inward experience of the Lord. And yet, they didn't do any kind of work. So nothing came out. You see? So these are two extremes. Eventually, recently Brother Lee said, the last person in the inner lifeline was Brother Austin Sparks. And I had the opportunity to know him, to stay in his home in London, and he stayed in my home in New York, and I had a chance to know him. But this dear brother, who was so much for the spiritual reality, the side of life, yet he had no way to produce anything. Because there was no definite arrangement. There was a kind of view that everything will happen spontaneously. Did you ever hear the slogan, life will do everything? Well, it depends on what you mean by that. Life won't do a work if you don't have an arrangement. To do a work, you have to have an arrangement. Then life will do something. Right? But if you just expect life to do something, right? Okay, you bring forth a baby. Life will do everything. Then don't make any arrangement. No feeding time, no bathing time, no changing diaper time, no time, no arrangement for anything. Just let life do everything. Right? Is that good enough? It won't work, right? Even to feed, you need an arrangement. Right? Whether you go by demand feeding or whether you go by schedule feeding, anyway, there's an arrangement, right? There's an arrangement. There's some arrangement to prepare the food. There's some arrangement to prepare the clean diapers. There's some arrangement to get the food into the child. There has to be some arrangement. It's a life matter, yes. But without some arrangement, what can be done? Suppose you don't send the child to school, no arrangement for education. No arrangement for any kind of training. No arrangement for any kind of adjusting of behavior. Listen, children need their behavior adjusted. We're on children now, right? We're talking now about children. So, excuse me, a lot of things we have to realize. With us, there's always a tendency to go to one side or the other. We trust in our arrangement, and we ignore the side of life. Or we trust in life, quote, unquote, and we don't make any kind of definite arrangement. Suppose we bring 150 children to the meeting hall every Lord's Day with no arrangement. We just bring them here. Put them in the room. What will come? It would be chaos. We have experienced this. When we arrived in Anaheim the first time in 1976, there were 15 little boys in a room with one high schooler trying to take care of them. They were climbing up the walls. I mean, they were no arrangement. Other than put one teenager in there, expect something to come out. It won't happen. To do any kind of work, there must be a definite arrangement. So now we're talking about work. We're talking about a work, right? We hate the word organization, right? We're for the organic building up of the body of Christ. But, a little but at least, if not a big but. But, to do a work, all this work eventually is for the building up of the body of Christ. But to do this work, we need a definite arrangement. I like the word definite, I like the word arrangement, and I like the word work. So, this is my introduction to this outline. There's a work, a children's work, a junior high work, a high school work. There's a work. And this work needs an arrangement. And this arrangement must be definite. It's no good to come in and decide, okay, we've got 150 kids. Not see, we look for the anointing to tell us what to do today. By then, it's too late. With a room full of 150 kids, unless you're very, very experienced and very, very gifted, you won't get the anointing. You get a headache. Right? You have to have some arrangement. Then the anointing will be there. You believe me. I've been at this a long time. If you don't believe, you just try it. You'll become believers. I've been at this a long, long time. Working with the young people, with the children, and without a definite arrangement to do this work, nothing will come out. You may do something for years with no result. With no result, if there's not a definite arrangement. So, the first thing, of course, because this is not only for you trainees, but these tapes are going out to the saints in the churches, the first point is the elders must oversee. The elders must be involved in all the areas of the church life. Of course, you're not the elders here today, but anyway, I like to get this on the tape and in the outline so that this kind of word can go out. In the long run, the elders have to oversee every aspect of the church life, but must not do the work directly. Eventually, the elders have to initiate, have to promote, have to make some kind of arrangement that others can be brought in to do this work. B, there must be two or three sisters to bear the total burden for this section of the work. Okay, this is with a lot of consideration and with some fellowship with Brother Lee just last weekend. In our experience, with the children's work, generally, this is much better to be handled by the sisters. That doesn't mean no brothers could serve, but generally speaking, we found out by many years of experience that the sisters do the best job with the children, with some exceptions. We have had some brothers who've done an excellent job, particularly with the older boys like the fifth and sixth grade. That, with that exception, generally, the sisters do a better job with all of the children. So generally, there must be two or three to oversee and to, not to oversee, to bear the total burden for this section of the work. So there need to be some definite ones responsible. Then see, the parents, especially the sisters, should serve. Again, my word about the brothers. There may be some brothers who could be quite useful in this. But generally speaking, it's the parents, especially the mothers, who should serve with the children. Why? Because the children are the parents' responsibility, primarily, not the church's. It's up to the parents to raise the children properly. We've covered that quite extensively in the first few messages. But I like to emphasize that here. So actually, the best ones to do the children's work are the mothers. With the help of some other sisters, and even with the help of some young people. Young people like the maybe 11th and 12th graders, or the college students, young people from 18 to in their early 20s, some brothers or sisters may be a great help in this work. But basically, the mothers, with maybe some fathers, should bear the responsibility for the children's work. F, the serving ones must be trained. The serving ones must be trained. And this is where the elders have to oversee this. Eventually, the ones bearing the direct responsibility for the children's work need to train others. We found this was the best way. Over the years, when we had difficulties, some serving ones didn't know what to do, then we would get an experienced sister and put her there just to show them what to do. Not to do it, but to show them what to do and to help them to do it. That is to train them. This worked very, very well. That some ones with more experience would be brought in to meet with them, to pray with them, to give them some training, some direction, to demonstrate maybe, but to lead them in to the proper way for doing the children's work. So there must be a kind of training. And then the whole burden concerning the children must be presented to all the parents and to the other saints in the church, even by occasional conferences. Even to spend a few meetings in a concentrated way to present the burden and the vision concerning the work with the children, with the junior high, with the high school. This would be very, very profitable in all the churches. Okay, this is all regarding the arrangement for the work. This is something very important to the church. The children's work is a very, very important part of the church life, the proper care of our children, and through our children bringing in their friends to be saved, and through their friends contacting families to be saved and brought into the church life. This is a big, important area in the church life. Okay? Roman numeral 2. Now we come to the matter of the meeting itself. We have to gather all the saints' children. Part of our definite arrangement must be to prepare a list with all the names and ages of the children of the families who are meeting with us. In other words, all the families in the church, you have to go through and make a list of all the children so you know exactly how many children at what ages there are. Then you have to stir up the parents to cooperate. The parents' cooperation involves the parents have to bring the children. Sometimes you can stir up the children to stir up the parents. Sometimes if you stimulate the children enough, they'll get the parents to bring them. But most of the time you have to stir up the parents to help them to realize this is really important to come and to serve, to bring the children, and then they, the parents, should come to join in the service with the children. And then, C, contact those who do not come to find out why. We should not neglect anyone in the church. Any of the children of the families in the church should not be neglected. You may think, well, if this one doesn't come, it doesn't matter. If that one doesn't come, it doesn't matter. Brother Lee had a marvelous message that he gave in which he said, where was the part here? Did I tell you this part? Here it is. Please do not say that we do not care for one or two. We should know the fact of gathering the drops to become a stream. If you do not care for one drop, or for two drops, or for all the drops, then you won't have a stream. Therefore, in such a large church as Taipei, this is what he shared in Taipei, we have to make it work among the children. When they have become 5 or 6 years old, they will bring in others. This shows us the importance of the children, that they affect a great deal on the development of the church, and we should never despise this. His point here is that if you consider, well, whether this child comes or doesn't come, it really doesn't matter, then eventually you won't do any work. Every drop matters. An ocean is made up of drops. Of course, here he used the word a stream. Every stream is made up of drops. If you don't have any drops, you don't have any stream. So here, this shows what our heart is. We have to find out the reasons. Sometimes the children don't come because they're bored. You better find out. You better find, so you can have a change. Sometimes they don't come because it's too disorderly. I found this out by first-hand experience. One child would go because the parents insisted for them to go, but that child would come home in tears every week. But because the child was raised up not to complain, it was a little hard to find out, but a little probing found out, we better go look what's going on over there. And it turned out it was a mess. It was disorderly, it was confusion, and the child wasn't happy to be there. So it didn't want to go. This is a real case. And, of course, we found out that in the last 2 years, right, in Anaheim. Some parents didn't want their children to go because of what was being said there, because of... But anyway, that's abnormal. Now, even in a normal situation, you could find out a lot by the attendance. When attendance goes up, it means kids are happy. They like to come. So even they would get the parents out of bed on the Lord's Day morning. Mommy, Daddy, we have to go. Right? I have to get my prize for my memory verse today. Right? Something. The sisters promised us a story, a special story. You see? Always holding out something in anticipation for the children. Then they would also work on the parents. But here the point is, when the children won't come, we have to find out why. Sometimes it's the parents' attitude. Then we have to try to help the parents. You see. Okay, so this is the matter point of gathering all the children, all the saints' children. Okay? Now, the meeting itself, for instance, here in Anaheim, we have 2 hours. In the past, at times, we had as much as 3 hours to fill. That's a long time for little children, right? So you have to have some definite arrangement to use this time profitably. So we would suggest there would be 4 elements. Suppose you have 2 hours. 4 elements of 20 to 40 minutes each. Say 20 to 30 minutes to have an opening time. Then maybe 30 to 40 minutes to have a lesson time. Then maybe a half an hour to have a time for crafts and handwork. Then a half an hour to have a storytelling time or a video time. 4 elements. This keeps them interested, right? If you have a few different interesting things every week, they will all want to come. The opening time is simply that. It's a time to open them up and make them happy, mainly by singing. Mainly by singing. The opening time has to be full of enjoyable singing. This is not just opening of a procedure. This is an opening of the hearts. When we say opening time, it's not to open a meeting. It's to open the hearts of the children. We have to open their hearts, to warm them up, to make them happy, so that we could put something into them. And this is mainly by singing. And it's very often better, depending on the number of children and the facilities and other factors, but the younger ones and the older ones, there's some difference here. Sometimes what the 3, 4, and 5-year-olds like to sing with the motions and so on, maybe the 4th, 5th, 6th grade boys wouldn't be so happy to do that, right? So in the past, our way sometimes was to take the older boys out because they just thought that was silly. you know, rolled away, rolled away, rolled away, all the burden on my heart rolled away. You know, the older boys, by the time they're 10 years old, 11 years old, they maybe, some of the things they think, they, you know, they're getting cool. They're starting to get cool, right? It may have to be. But anyway, also the level of the songs is different. Some of the songs that are quite good for little children, the content is not good enough. Then with the older children, they could take more content, but the younger children, they don't find that interesting. So if the younger and older children can be divided, that is probably the best. A kind of nursery section and then a kind of whatever, older section. Some kind of division there between the younger, say, the kindergarten and preschoolers and the first to six. Well, where you make the division depends on how many kids you have and a lot of factors. But anyway, younger ones and older ones. Some songs are very suitable for younger ones. And some of the songs are more suitable for the older ones because they add more content, you see, and lead them more concerning God's salvation or something like that. So we need to consider this. But the opening time is in some way, it's the most important time. Because if the opening time doesn't do its job, then it's very hard to do anything else. It's very hard to do anything else. If people are not open, how can you have a lesson? How can you put anything into them? They're restless, they're bored, they're grouchy, they got dragged there by their parents, they didn't want to be there, you didn't make them happy, and then you sit them down and try to give them a lesson, it won't work. It just won't work. So I really have a very heavy burden, and I found out the best children's meetings have the best openings. An opening time. Singing, full of singing. Enjoyable, lively singing. On different levels. But anyway, there needs to be such a time to open the children up and make them happy. Make them happy. We're not there as the policeman with a big stick. You see, I don't mean for you to misunderstand even my word in the last couple weeks. I don't mean that we have no discipline, that just anything goes. I don't mean that at all. But the best way to solve the discipline problems is make them happy. Find a way to make them happy. To get them involved in something enjoyable. When kids are involved in something enjoyable and when they're happy, they're not a problem. It's when they're not happy they're a problem. They're always a problem because they're miserable. So if you can open them up and make them happy, this is a very, very crucial thing. We need some who can do this job. And we found out over the years there are always, in every locality, there are a few saints who are the best ones for the opening time. They can inspire them, they can open them up, they can make them happy, even they can give them a little story maybe related to a song or something. Some of the songs concerning behavior, concerning conscience. Brother Peter Welk did a good job last Lord's Day in the opening time, telling a story about 5 minutes, Peter?
About
5 minutes about how he was a naughty boy and how his conscience got touched by something he did. And the kids all want him to come back again. The sister asked the kids, would you like Uncle Peter to come back? Oh, yeah, we like Uncle Peter to come back and tell us another story. You see? That makes them happy. You see? That's not a lesson. That's just a little story to illustrate the song that they've been working on. And then they did something to make a demonstration of a stoplight and with a red light and with a yellow light and with a green light and, you know, with some flashlight shining in it and so on. Something they all like to see. Ooh, they thought this was wonderful. And the little kids couldn't figure out how the balloons lit up. They didn't see the sister with the flashlight behind on the balloons. The little kids, how did you do that? They're happy. Well, that's not very spiritual, right? But it's happy. Right? Make them happy first, right? Make them happy. So this kind of thing, we have done a variety of different things in the opening just for variety and for interest. One time we had a brother who was a paramedic come in and demonstrate some of his equipment on resuscitation or something like this. And they were, ooh, they were. We had him put his uniform on. Another time we had a fireman put his uniform on and come in and demonstrate a fire extinguisher or something. You know, just something to make them happy. I hate to mention the things because then you say, oh, that's the thing we have to do. No, this is where the sanctified imagination comes in. But mainly the opening time is for singing. For singing. But we have some good songs on character. We have some good songs on occupation. We have some good songs on behavior. We have some good songs on conscience. We have some good songs on even on types of occupations. They wrote some songs on being a nurse or being a fireman or how we need to respect the work that these kind of people do, being a school teacher. Yeah, even this kind of thing. But the whole point is not that. The whole point is make them happy and keep it interesting. So I talk a lot about this as if this is the most important thing. But if you don't do this right, then when you come to the lesson time, it won't work so well. If then you have to drag them to the lesson because they didn't want to be there in the first place, no, then it's very difficult. So the opening time is very, very crucial. How you start off. And in principle, this applies also with the home children's meeting. How you start off with them depends on whether you can put anything into them. You see? Okay, so the opening time, maybe 20 minutes, 20 to 30 minutes. Say in a 2-hour period. Of course, if you have 3 hours or if you have 1 hour, then you have to adjust some of these. But anyway, basically, assuming you have 2 hours, an hour for the Lord's table meeting, an hour for the sharing of the saints, which is typical in some of the churches now on the Lord's Day morning, you could have a 20 to 30 minute opening time, and then you could have a 30 to 40 minute lesson time. Okay. The lesson time is with materials prepared in a sequence of steps, level by level, with the goal of leading all the children to be saved and baptized before entering junior high school. We've talked about this goal before. All of our children's work, the main goal is to get all of the children saved and baptized before junior high. Along with that, we want them to bring their friends in to be saved and baptized, and we want to gain more families. But as to the children themselves, our goal with them is that they should all be saved and baptized before junior high. So for this, we must prepare materials. Don't use the verse that it shall be given you in the hour what you shall say. Don't use the excuse, I'll trust the anointing. Don't use those excuses. You have to prepare. You have to prepare.
This is the end of side one. For the remainder of the message, please turn the cassette over.
This is the fundamental difference between brothers and sisters. Did I say this before here? I don't think so. The fundamental difference between the way brothers and sisters operate is that all of the sisters feel inadequate. And so they pray, and they prepare, and they fellowship, and they labor, and they dig into the verses, and they look up in the books, and they get... And all the brothers are Pentecostal. They trust the anointing. In other words, they wing it. If I say all, that's an exaggeration. But most of the brothers, even last Lord's Day, I made the rounds. I snuck out during the meeting. I went down to look in at all the classes, what all the classes are doing. There was a difference between the classes with sisters and with brothers. Now, I hope the brothers don't take this personally, but there was a difference. One brother's class... The brother was really prepared, really was doing something. The other brother's class, one kid was in the parking lot, three kids were down the hall, the other one was on the other side of the room, and I just stood there, wondering what's going on. I couldn't figure out what was going on, you see. So that concerned me just a little bit, you see. But that also confirmed my impression over the years. I've done this a lot. I used to sneak around during the children's meeting. listen, outside every door to see what was going on, outside every class, so they didn't know I was there. I did this a lot when I was in Anaheim before, and I did this in Denver. And I found out. I found out the brothers are all, you know, waiting for the anointing. Yeah, see? And or they're so confident that they can just come in, they read the verse on the way in the car to the meeting hall, and then they go in to give something, and in 3 minutes they've said all they have to say. And then they take the boys to the park to play ball for 2 hours. Let me tell you, we're going to have a new rule, no going to the park. We're not here for sports. We're not here for going to the park. We have a very important job to do. We have to do our job. That's a cop-out. Sometimes I went 15 or 20 minutes, 10 minutes, no, about 15 minutes after they went to the classes, the classroom was empty. They were gone to the park already. How they could finish the opening, get to the class, get them in order, give them a lesson, do something profitable, and be gone in 15 minutes is beyond me. So that's why the sisters have to do this job. But any brothers who are doing it are going to get shaped up, right? They'll have to do it right, right? So there are some brothers that are quite good at it. But here, the point is this. There has to be something prepared. Something prepared. And you have to prepare. You're not going to get a book that you can read on Saturday night, the Sunday School Quarterly, and it's going to give you all the things and all the things, and then you just read that, and then you go to sleep, and then you get up and bring the lesson book in and read it to the kids. No, 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 no. We're not going to do it that way. You have to get yourself prepared. You have to pray. You have to fellowship. Every team, there's a team of serving ones for every group. Actually, regardless who's going to give the lesson, the serving ones have to prepare together. The groups that are the most effective operate this way. We have too many years' experience. Too many years. You have to prepare. There must be some preparation. To give a lesson in a profitable way, there have to be materials prepared. That means some lesson. The material is some lesson prepared. Then this preparation, there have to be a sequence of steps, level by level, over these years. Let's say you leave out all the preschoolers. Let's do something different with the preschoolers, right? Because they're young. Okay. But say from kindergarten to sixth grade, 7 years. Kindergarten, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7 years, okay? We should have a series of materials prepared with 7 steps leading to salvation and baptism. Everything we do in kindergarten has to be with this goal. And then the first grade, we add another. We go up a step. And then the second grade, we go up a step. And the third grade, we go up a step. Adding elements that will lead all the children down this pathway. You see, year by year. Now, I know in smaller places, you have a wide spectrum of ages. You don't have one class for every grade level, right, necessarily. But still, you have to have a sequence. You have to have a sequence. The order is not absolute. Some things you can reverse the order, do this before that, do this year and that next year, or reverse the order of the subject for these 2 years. But anyway, there have to be a series of steps. And it has to advance. In other words, what you do with the kindergarten is on one level. What you do with the sixth grade is on a different level. It has to be a higher level. Even take the matter of God's creation. If you're presenting God's creation to kindergartners, you present it in one way. If you're presenting God's creation to sixth graders, you present it in a different way. The same subject matter is on a different level. You see? So this, to me, is a very crucial thing. Because the goal is clear, then we have to develop a series of steps, year by year by year. Then within a year, we may have some units. 3 months, 4 months, 6 weeks. We may have some units. But anyway, when the whole thing gets done, you have led them up this stairway to be saved and baptized before junior high. Do you see this picture? You have to have this kind of broad view. So actually, the kindergarten serving ones need to have this view. Don't wait till you say, well, I'm not on the sixth grade, so I forget about saved and baptized. I can just do whatever. No, no, no. What you do has to add some element. And there are a whole lot of elements. There are many, many different ways. The way that we worked out here, I'll just give you as an example. Please don't set this in concrete. But I give you as an example. Every child has to know God is the creator. And something about God's creation. The earlier the better. Actually, this could be done preschool. 3- and 4-year-olds. But at least by kindergarten, we have to tell them that God made everything. And we have to tell them about the creation. Actually, it's worthwhile to spend a whole year on this. And we have a series of outlines that go through. God is the creator of the heavens, one lesson. Of the earth, one lesson. Of man, one lesson. Of the Garden of Eden, one lesson. Of the trees of the garden, one lesson. Of the animals, one lesson. How God made a wife for Adam, one lesson. How Adam and Eve disobeyed, one lesson. How God came to find Adam and Eve, one lesson. How God dealt with the serpent, one lesson. What was the outcome? The changes in creation, a lesson. How God provided a covering for Adam and Eve, one lesson. How Adam and Eve were separated from God, one lesson. You see, a whole bunch of things to cover the creation and the fall. Then a series of lessons on the earth. The different things relating to the earth as the place prepared by God for man's home. Then a series of lessons on the heavens. The stars and the planets and the moon and climate and temperature and rain and air and all kinds of things. With a lot of pictures, with a lot of different things. See? Not just talking to kindergartners in a kind of lecturing way. No, no, that won't work. You need some songs, right? God made the ocean, God made the sea, God made the da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You see, some songs that you would sing with them. So they get to know God made everything. All kinds of lessons about all the things related to the earth. Actually, some sisters did an excellent job year after year, spending a whole year on creation and God as the creator of everything. When those kids get done as 4-year-olds or 5-year-olds with this kind of year, they can hear what they want about Darwin and about monkeys and stuff. It's not going to affect them. We got there first with the truth. They just know God made everything. You see? Yeah, as teenagers, they'll have some questions. We have some books. We have some way to help them. But basically, they won't have that big a problem. Because week after week, God made this. God made. Didn't God do a good job? You know, God made the animals. God made the trees. God made the plants. God made the flowers. They take them out to the parking lot to show them the flowers or to show them the trees or to, you see, they talk about all the things. God made everything. What? God made everything for man. You see? Just, you spend 1 year just on this one point. God made everything for man. You see? I tell you, this is a big job. Don't despise this. Don't think, oh, that's so simple. With us, we just tell them once. And think that's good enough, they got it. No, 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 week after week after week after week. Then we have another whole year on man in God's creation. How man is special. And how man was created by God. And how man is different from the animals. And what men can do that the animals can't do. And we spend a lot of time on the differences between man and the animals. And then about people. How the differences among people, appearance, height, color, but the sameness of all people. Eventually, our point is that God made from one every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, right? That all men are the same. This is a big thing to put into first graders or kindergartners. that in spite of all the apparent differences in color, in race, in language, and all these things, yet all mankind is one. King James says, of one blood. Of one blood. All mankind are the same. So in God's eyes, no difference. Listen, with kindergartners, if you can put this thought, no difference. What a benefit to them, spiritually and humanly. What a benefit to society to raise children with no prejudice, no bias. You see, this is a big thing. A lot of things. I don't like to, if I get into this. Then in this section on man, how to take care of our body. How the body has to be clothed, has to be covered. This is a big thing today. A big thing. We have to preserve this sense of modesty in our children. Not to uncover themselves. See, clothing is important to cover our bodies. You see, you don't have to give them a detailed lesson about the birds and the bees. You just have to put these facts into them, real young. Anyway, about not eating junk food. Anyway, too much candy, not good. Too much this, not good. See, eat proper food, help them. How to take care of their feelings. This is a big thing. You're not always happy. Well, what do you do? Do you hit somebody because you're not happy? No. You see? So the physical aspect of man, the psychological aspect of man, eventually the spiritual aspect of man. That there's something inside of you that tells you what's right and what's not right. Isn't that so? Then you give them some simple examples. When you say no to your mother, how do you feel inside? You don't feel so good. See, there's something inside of you. You don't have to give them the lesson on the conscience that I gave in this course, but you just have to develop this sense, this inward sense of what's right and what's wrong. This is part of man. You can do this in kindergartens. You believe me. It's been done. For a number of years, these have all been tested out. But I'm not selling these outlines. I'm just illustrating to you. Don't believe that they're too young to put anything substantial into them. They're not too young. They're not too young. Okay. Then, so, we have God as the creator and the matter of creation. And then we have man in God's creation. Then another basic thing is relationships in God's creation. How they have to get along. Get along with their brothers and sisters. Get along with their parents. How to be a brother or a sister. How to be parent. How to be children to the parents, proper children. What about friends? We need to do something early, like the first grade and second grade, to steer them in the right direction concerning friends. How to have friends, what kind of friends, how to choose the right friends, this kind of thing. And then their attitude toward adults, toward older ones, their attitude toward teachers, the teachers in school, their attitude toward the government, the firemen, the policemen, you see. The main stress here is that all of this is God's arrangement. God has an arrangement. All the relationships of human beings are arranged by God for a purpose. And then eventually, what is their attitude toward God? Actually, all of this is to, because they have not yet been regenerated, we have to help them to be God-fearers to prepare them for God's salvation. So, we need to do things like this. I'm just illustrating, okay, giving you a series of steps. Then, the moral law. The moral law of the Ten Commandments has never been abrogated by God. The ordinances nailed to the cross don't include the moral law, except the Sabbath is over. We have a series of lessons, 3 weeks on each of the Ten Commandments, 30 weeks on the Ten Commandments, plus an introduction of 3 weeks and plus a conclusion of a number of weeks. So we can take a whole year on the Ten Commandments, you see, laying a good foundation. You'll be surprised how we could do this, but this was one of the really good and effective series that were used with the by the time they got to be in about the third grade, something like that. And see, we teach them about not having any other gods, because there's only one unique God, about not having idols. But listen, that includes a lot of things about not taking the name of the Lord in vain. Listen, in grade school, already they've heard the Lord's name taken in vain. We have to get there. About the Lord's Day, we give them a lesson on the not on the Sabbath, but on the Lord's Day. What is the meaning of the Lord's Day? About honoring the parents, about not murdering. Of course they're not going to murder. But listen, according to the New Testament, to be angry with someone is to murder. We have to help them to deal with their anger, to realize that to be angry is wrong, and so on. The commandment on adultery, we present very positively God's arrangement in having one husband and one wife. We don't have to define adultery, we don't have to tell them things prematurely, but we just present a very positive view of God's arrangement and purpose in marriage. These are marvelous. I like these lessons. About stealing, about lying, about coveting. Listen, they need to hear all this. This is the moral law concerning their relationships with men and their relationship with God. This is a foundation for their salvation. This actually trains their conscience in a very good way. Then we cover God's calling in the Bible. How God called Adam and Adam went away and hid. And someday God's going to call you. Don't run away and hide. If you were wrong, just admit to God you're wrong, right? Very practical application of God's calling of Adam. And then we go through all the major Bible characters in the Old Testament, and we're working on the New Testament. So we like to have maybe 2 years, one on the Old Testament characters, one on the New Testament characters, of God's calling, how God called Peter and James and John, and he saw Nathanael under the fig tree, and, you know, God's calling. Paul and Timothy, and so God's calling in the Old Testament and God's calling in the New Testament. By the time you get done with 2 years like this, they have a view of the Bible. They have a view of the Bible. And then a very good one on Jesus meets all man's needs. And this is based on the gospel, the gospels, the four gospels. Jesus' birth, his childhood, his baptism, his ministry, and all the things, how he blessed the children. So we're all children. We need to come to Jesus so he can bless us. We're all healing the sick. We're all sick. We need Jesus to heal us. Casting out the demons. How only Jesus is more powerful than Satan and the demons. Forgiving the sinners. We're all sinners. We need forgiveness. Raising the dead. We all need life. A lot of good things. Plus a number of very good lessons on his crucifixion. This is very touching. By the time they come to about the fifth grade, the fourth, fifth grade, and here to give them the story of Jesus' crucifixion in great detail, eventually they all shed tears. This is to lead them to be saved. And then the Lord's resurrection and how he's going to come again. This is quite good, see, on the story of the Gospels. And then outlines on the truth and experience of God's salvation, leading them to be definitely saved. So a lot of things. You see the steps, though. My point is not the details. Maybe I got into too much detail. My point is, from creation to man, to relationships, to the moral law, to God's calling in the Old Testament, God's calling in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus, how he meets all man's needs, and how everybody needs to be saved. See the steps? These are not the only steps, but this is one way I like to illustrate. You see, how you can lead them from such an early age through 6 or 7 years to God's salvation. You believe me, if you do this job year in and year out with this goal and with some real exercise of spirit and real preparation, they'll all be saved and baptized. We experienced this. Year after year, we brought a crop. We harvested a crop of fifth and sixth graders to be saved and baptized. Year after year. By a steady, consistent labor. So this has to be our long view with the children. This is the lesson time. This is the lesson time. You say 30 minutes a week doesn't mean... 30 minutes a week added up over 7 years, right? 52 weeks in a year. That's 26 hours a year times 7. How many hours is that? Right? It's almost 200 hours. Close to over 180 hours, right? 180 hours. If you think of getting a block of 180 hours to do something, but just 30 minutes a week, 30 minutes a week, 30 minutes a week, 30 minutes a week, you can do a big job, you see. Don't you think you could get somebody saved in 180 hours? Listen, even if you're the worst gospel preacher, 180 hours, you could get one person saved, right? So, you have to have this kind of view. It's labor. The main thing here is labor. Consistent labor. Consistent labor. With patience. With faith and patience. In the New Testament priests of the gospel, Brother Lee, a couple times, used this kind of phrase. Take action with faith and patience. I like to put that on the children's work. Take action with faith and patience. Okay. Then, of course, you still have more time to do some kind of craft, some kind of handwork with the little children. They do very good job. What they do is they outline a picture with a verse on the sheet. They mimeo it and they let them color it. See? Then they have the memory verse to take home and they've done some handwork, some picture or something. They've done cutouts. They've done all kinds of things. We had a brother here in Anaheim a few years ago. He was an ex-Marine high school science teacher. Nobody could do a better job with boys than he. He had them making rockets, making sheet metal things. He had them collecting rocks. He had them doing electrical projects. He taught them how to do plumbing. He taught them everything. In just about 45 minutes to an hour a week. Eventually, the end of the term, they went to the park and shot off their rockets. Real rockets. I mean, these things stood this high, you know. Yeah. Little by little, he'd work on them for a number of months. He wouldn't let them go easy. If that thing wasn't sanded perfectly smooth, he'd make them sand it until it was... He wouldn't let them paint it till it was smooth. Right? A lot of things. Think what this does to their character. Listen, that was excellent. Sorry, he moved away from here. We need such a brother like that. Now, there you need a brother for the boys to do kinds of things. But the girls can do all kinds of things, too. Right, all kinds of handcrafts. You can teach them how to knit, how to crochet, how to cook, how to do a lot of things, seriously. When my girls were this age, we had a sister in New York. She wasn't that good at giving lessons, so we always put someone else with her that could give the lessons. But she was so good to teach the girls all kinds of practical things. Cooking, sewing, knitting. So we gave her half the time every week. The other one did the lesson, and she just loved them and took them to her place and showed them all these things. My girls loved that. They learned a lot of practical things. They learned some things their mother didn't know how to do. Sorry. Oh, this is on the tape. Oh, Lord, I'm in trouble. Okay, let's go on quick. Time for crafts and handwork. We can finish this outline. Have a storytelling time. Okay, so 30 minutes for crafts and 30 minutes for a story time. Listen, we need to tell the children the Bible stories. I told you already, I'm appalled that our junior highers don't know the story of the Bible. They don't know about the brass serpent. They don't know about the Red Sea. They don't know about the smitten rock. They don't know the stories, right? They don't know about David. Yeah, they all know David and Goliath, but they don't know. David prepared with all his might for the building of God's house. They don't know the stories of the Bible. So, we have Bible stories, stories from church history about some of the outstanding biographies or events about the Reformation, about different things. About George Mueller, how he was a naughty boy and how he was going to sneak out of a hotel as a teenager without paying the bill and how the hotel owner caught him. And eventually this naughty boy got saved. Amen. And became so useful to the Lord. Listen, these stories are inspiring. I got Francis stirred up. He's going to write down some stories. He knows some very touching stories. Everybody be in tears. He started to tell me one in the office just an hour ago. And I tell you, it's very touching. We need stories like this. Yeah. Okay. Stories from world history. Biographies. The story about how Abraham Lincoln, when he overcharged a man, he walked 6 miles to return a few cents to the man. Because he wouldn't keep the money unrighteously overnight. Listen, that's a good story to tell. Some real stories. We need to have a collection of stories. The main point is to let the young ones know how man became fallen and evil, how man needs God and God's salvation, and how man needs to have a high standard of character. Stories for this purpose, okay? Then a video time. Maybe one week we'd have a story, another week we'd show them a video. We like the churches to prepare videos of their children's meetings from all around the world. Then we can exchange them. I like to have a video of the children's meeting from beyond the lake in Ghana. Amen. In the mud hut. Right? I like to have to show our children. Listen, they'll all appreciate their homes and their beds. Right? But not just that. Suppose the children in Taipei would make a video of their meeting. And we could send ours to them. They could say, our kids would be very interested. Right? From all over the world. From South America. From Brazil, right? From Europe, from Korea. That would be something, right? Then we have all these videos going all around. Don't you think that will help the oneness of the body of Christ? But it will also inspire our children. See, this isn't just to fill the time. No. This is very profitable. So if we do this kind of job, we don't need to take them to the park. No more going to the park, right? 30 minutes each for four items. Right? A singing time, 20 to 30 minutes. A lesson time, 30 to 40 minutes. A craft time, 30 minutes. And a story time, plus a snack time. You have to have a snack time. Give them a little healthy snack. Give them some fruit, some juice, something. You see, a little snack in between, a little break. It's easy to do something so profitable, so enjoyable, so interesting that they would all love to come. Then the final point on the outline is there is a need for work on the materials. We need to work on more songs, more lessons, more stories, more videos, more crafts, so that we have a big reservoir, a big, what's the word I'm looking for? A big
storehouse.
Yeah, cash, a big collection. There's a word. Anyway, that we have a big repertoire to pull from, stock, storeroom. Right? So then, we're not short, right? This still means you have to prepare, but if you have some materials to prepare with, you could do a better job. So, those who are gifted at drawing need to draw more. Those who are gifted at writing little stories, see? Sometimes you can't take the autobiography of George Mueller, that big book, and just read it to little kids, right? Somebody has to read it and maybe write out on two pages, typewritten, that can be read in 10 or 15 minutes, a little story about him. We need a series, see? We need to collect. So many of the Christianity books are leavened. So we need to read and sift out the leaven. Then we tell them the story. That's the problem with reading books that you buy in the Christian bookstores. That's a big problem. We went through literally hundreds of children's books in New York in the early years, to try to find some suitable ones to let our children read. It's not so easy. It's easier to find things from world history and American history and so on that are less damaging than the stuff from the Christian bookstores. Tell you the truth, sorry to say. But anyway, we can get stories. And then we can rewrite them for our use. We're not publishing. We just type them up so we have something to use, right? This is what we advise the parents very much. You read the stories and then tell them to the children. You can sift out the leaven. Anyway, it's a storytelling time. Right? You can be free with a story. It's just a story. Of course, if it's a biography, you have to be accurate with the facts. But still, a little sanctified imagination in telling a story. That's okay. Right? As long as it doesn't misrepresent the facts. So, I hope you could have some idea. This is a way to do the Lord's Day children's meetings. Okay? So, this may not be of immediate urgency to you trainees, but sooner or later you will need this. Right? And at least this will give you a kind of view. In the meantime, I like to stir up some of you, because this work needs people who would give themselves to this work. We need some. I hope out of all the full-timers, there might be a couple who would go away from this training so burdened just to do children's work. You could be children's workers. You could help the parents. You could help the mothers. You could have home children's meetings. You could help the church children's meeting on the Lord's Day. Listen, nothing will be more rewarding. Whoever takes care of the children surely will receive a great blessing from the Lord. To me, the biggest blessing to me is taking care of the children and the young people. I told the saints, if I could do nothing but this, that would be heaven for me. But that's why the first line in here came from Brother Lee to me. The elders must oversee but must not do the work directly. That was his word to me. That's how it got on the outline. So anyway, still, I like to stir you up to do it. If you do a good job, then I get the blessing too, right? We all get the blessing. So I like to stir up all the saints and all the trainees. Eventually, we do need some even full-timers to do full-time children's work, full-time junior high, full-time high school, full-time campus work. Of course, you all, because you're young people, you love the campus work. But anyway, I like to stir you up. So we're not going to cover campus work this term in this course. We won't get that far. I like to work on these points: children, junior high, and high school. Okay? Okay, I hope you saw something. I hope you got something, and we can have some fellowship maybe next time on this. Amen.